If you'll turn back with me to Luke 9. Ninth chapter of Luke. I won't read the passage again. We've read the one in Matthew 17 a couple of times, and then all of this one Sunday morning. But just verse number 36 this evening. And if the Lord will help, I'd like to speak to you on Jesus was found alone. Before we read the verse and get into the service, Father, would you bow with me as we seek His face? Our Father, would you grant that there might be an awareness, a divine reality in our souls, that Christ has met with us, is meeting with us. And whatever the need might be in our hearts for the preparation of that, would you now, as we bow together, would you deal with us, fix our hearts, show us that wherein might need correcting for us to hear, softening, O God, prepared to receive Thy word, and do help, we pray, in Christ's name. Amen. And when the voice was passed, there are a lot of voices out there. The voice of society, the voice of life. There is, I hope, the voice of the soul to you. I hope there is the voice of God. And I know this, that when His voice is passed, it'll leave you fixed on one subject, and that is His dear Son. A lot of voices, many in your own head that you've got to overcome. The Lord must help you to overcome, to hear His voice. But if it does not lead you to His Son, it is not, or was not, the Father's voice. Now, He uses the Spirit of God to speak with us, but He never terminates upon Himself. The Spirit always leaves us like this: Jesus was found alone. And that being all that I would like to speak with you about this evening, that's all that we will read in that passage. 1 John 3:2, John said that beloved, now are ye the sons of God. But none of us know. It does not appear in our heads what we shall be. But we know this, that when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Or that of God to Moses, to the children of Israel, Deuteronomy 12, you're not yet as now, or not now, come to your rest. And to the inheritance that I promised to give you. So you are not there yet. And wherever you may be, whatever progress there may have been in your soul, as God furthers, and He will always be furthering His work therein, you're not yet there. You are not yet what He would have you be. You have not yet come unto the rest. I know that there is a rest in Christ Jesus, but even in that rest, there is a progressing on to know the Lord. You never fully know Him. Well, for that, you won't ever completely know Him. Eternity will always be revealing God. Now, that's a pretty big God that you cannot ever fully know, and yet you will always be learning Him. That's just a fraction larger than the God that is declared today, and that's a whole lot bigger than our minds can get to. You are not yet what you will be. And you're always changing. Now that can work in two ways. You can either be changing and making improvement towards the right goal, or you can be changing, headed in the wrong direction, with a hardening of your heart, having reached what you think is a terminal point. This is where it all lies. I now know sufficiently enough, and no need me trying to press any harder or further into the kingdom of God. Then you will be changing in the opposite direction. For the same sun that melts the wax hardens the clay. And the same S-O-N will always be doing that, one of the two in your heart. Baby is born into the world, and I know that genes determine something of his or her personality. A little. But there's a lot of other factors involved in the personality of a little one being developed. And there are a lot of things that do shape your mind as it does the little one. Those that the infant, is around, their language, their manner in which they live, their expression of themselves, that can go into affecting a little one and their personality. Their preferences or their prejudices can infiltrate a little one's mind to the point that they will be fixed in a mold forever, which means that you must be at your best around them so that they might have a right personality. And not only the little ones, but you younger, and I don't limit it to you, for I as the older, and you following me, we still have things that have shaped our minds and our thinking. And some of them it's hard to get out of our minds. And we'll go through life with a prejudice that what I know is right and what I believe is right. Now you young folks, education, it's going to have a greater influence upon you than you know. And the books you read, the literature, and I know that is, that's not the thing today, the reading of books. We've got too much other things to do. In the elementary school, I think it was the fourth grade, where the teacher fixed this contest, and we get this color key to read this many books, this color, and so on and so on. And I think I read 84. Of course, they were small books, most of them, for fourth grade. But they were not required reading, but something that I just got involved in, and I couldn't put it down. But that's not as important today, seemingly, as it was back then. But the books you read, the literature, whether it be the newspaper, whether it be magazine articles or whatever, this goes into making you what you are not yet, but what you will be one day. The music that you listen to. And I don't know, I promise you that. Because as much as is out there, and as much as they call music today, and the vulgarity of a great percentage of it, I don't want to know, but I know that the music that you listen to has a way of developing you into that which you are not yet. So see, you're changing. And the friends that you associate with, they have a greater influence upon you than you know. And there's none of us that like to be at odds with those around us. And you will have a tendency to take a more convenient path to not ruffle feathers, not disturb friendships, and instead of you affecting them in a positive way, if you're not careful, it'll be them that affect you in a negative way. So those that you associate with. Now you can't select everybody that you are around. I know that. But that you can be on guard so that those that you are around will not have such an influence upon you that they set you in a way in which you will never be changed. Because the children of God are being changed from day to day. I wish I could say it is always in a good, positive way. But we dare not think that that would be the case. But it does not matter what age you are. You are not yet that which you will be. One day, the news, I don't anymore. You can take the side of the left, you'll end up agreeing with everything they say, or you can take the side of the right and agree with everything they say, and you can't find that down the middle that tells it as it is. Everybody's got their own agenda. And journalism is all but gone. They make up the news now. They do not report the events. Again, I'm not for the left, I'm not for the right. I don't know what's going on. I don't care to know what's going on out there. Well, you ought to be a concerned citizen and keep up with things. It'll do more forming in me than the Word of God and the Spirit of God. I got one passage that I want you to read with me. 2 Timothy chapter number 2. And beginning with verse number 16. Paul's advice to a young preacher. Paul's advice to all God's children. Verse 16, but shun profane. 2 Timothy 2:16. Shun profane and vain babblings, empty discussions. Now you can't get in a meaningful discussion I'd be willing, if I bet, to wager a good bit on that. You can get into a lot of discussions, but vain babblings is empty discussion, and it is void of useful material. What you read, what you hear, society as a whole, those around you, and most of it is going to be profane and or vain babblings. And at the head is fixed in this direction, these empty discussions will increase unto more ungodliness, and you begin to take a more lenient path. You become less strict or demanding on yourself, taking the lighter road of resistance, because vain, useless, empty discussions increase, develop you further into more ungodliness. And their word, these that talk like that, and you that give them an ear so that they can talk, their word will eat as doth a canker, gangrene. I don't know if it was as late as World War II, they may have come up with a cure by then, but before they had a cure for this deadly infection, they used to take maggots and they would put them on the flesh of a wounded soldier, and the maggot would eat all the dead flesh, and it would stop when it got to living skin, and it stopped the spread of that could be deadly disease. That's what Paul's saying here. Their word in your head will eat as gangrene in a person's physical body. Well, it doesn't get in my heart. See, that's where you're mistaken. We'll get to that, hopefully, in a minute. He names two who concerning the truth have heard, Hymenaeus and Philetus, saying the truth, saying the resurrection is past already. And those, it was not a saving faith, because it could not have taken and destroyed all that. But those that were young, maybe had made profession of faith, or given evidence that faith had been implanted in their heart, though it was not true, it was overthrown, and they were destroyed. Now you say, well, I've read my Bible for the evening, now I'm going to watch the news and catch a movie. I'm going to ask you which one's going to bed with you. Which one's your mind going to hold on to? See, I know, because it would do that with me. Eating late is a bad physical habit. what you eat could make it worse. For see, your body assimilates, that is, it takes in and appropriates what you eat by way of breaking it down and providing nourishment. Breaking what you eat down into different nutrients. Now the danger for us is that those things that we cannot see and many times do not feel, the effects that they have upon us, and we never know anything about it. Cholesterol. Now, I'm not too big a health nut, but I try to watch. Blood sugar. You don't know about that. Somebody tells you you got it, and then you figure out, well, that's why I was feeling so bad. Cholesterol, you don't know you got that. And so I tell you, you got it, and you find out, well, that was creating the condition of my heart and other things about my body. High blood pressure. You can have that and not know it, known as the silent killer. So, though you do not feel the effect or effects that you eat has upon you, it does. And there is a law in our mental makeup that it appropriates as nourishment the very things that it absorbs. And the things that occupy your mind is that which is assimilated into your system. And there can be no contemplation upon divine spiritual issues without it having a powerful influence to affect you mentally. It sanctifies your mind. You know what, folk? Our minds are so crowded out with everything that's going on around and within us that our body is assimilating all this that we are eating, and it's appropriating it to our system, and it's killing us. We don't have a good moment of divine spiritual contemplation. The art of meditation is gone. You don't have time to do it. Just sitting down and looking at a verse or thinking about a word. Now see, you cannot get the full extent of ever how long I speak to you tonight, but here's what you can do. You can take home, as that cow grazes in the early morning hours and sometimes the late afternoon, but after the sun comes up and it gets hot, you'll find them down under the thick shade trees by the cool water. And they're just belching up that they swallowed whole, and they're chewing it and re-chewing it, and they're getting all the sweetness out of that grass and all of those nutrients. So you got to take home. If you're having problems at work, take a verse with you. Write it on a little card and pull it out and think about it. and offset all that's about you. And great apostles' admonition to all the children. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue and any praise in these things, think on them. Crowd out your mind with everyday events. If you can saturate it, well, I can't remember, you say. I can't either. So I say, get your card and carry it with you and pull it out of your pocket and go over it and over it and over it. It's pure. It's lovely. There's a good report in it. There's virtue therein. Think on that. The old coal miners that worked a number of years under the earth before we ever found out about black lung, breathing that dust, and they died early. And you're living in a very toxic world. And what you breathe in can kill you. Big push, you see, every time you sit down to watch anything, you always got a lawyer. One of their big things now is so many billions of dollars has been set aside for all people that have cancer due to asbestos. And it takes 20 or 30 years for those having worked around it and worked with it for it to ever fully develop into that fatal killer. And they don't know it. And you don't know it. Neither do I. And we've lost so much reality of a conscious awareness of Christ in our daily lives due to the demands life makes upon us. Every way you turn and every step throughout the day requires so much mental energy as well as physical energy, that you are depleted and you just sit down mentally and physically exhausted. And the mental stress that all of you face, cumbered with so much mental stress, and it costs you so much. One day you'll get to the place you don't think you can go on. And you just get to that place where you'd like to lay everything down, but you can't because so many people are dependent upon you. Therefore, you pray, give us, excuse me, this day and our daily bread. If you've got problems, and you have, it's going to affect you physically and mentally. Even to the point that your food is not properly digested. It can destroy your physical appetite. And the only cure for all this is when the voice was passed, Jesus was found alone. All that is required of you, and you live in a day of such stress, it can rob you of your appetite. It can rob you of your sleep. You just can't lay it aside. You lay down and the thoughts start rolling. And it's like you're going to work and you didn't have sufficient nutrients in what you ate to provide you strength and energy for you to finish the day. Dad used to say at the table, "All right, boys, we get out of the field for lunch, and there'd be boiled potatoes or fried potatoes or something. All right, boys, you need some other vegetables." Those potatoes will take you to the field, Irish potatoes, but they won't bring you back. And he told the truth, they'd play out within a couple of hours. So it's like you're going to work and you didn't have enough and you ran out of energy. Now if that's true in the physical, it's only because it's in the spiritual. Where you get your daily bread, you finding Jesus alone. Where do you get all this noise out of your head it is required of you. Where you work, it is required of you. Where do you get all that noise? All that vain babbling out of your head? You find Jesus alone. Your career and your business will come to an end unless you can find strength physically and mentally to press on in the midst of the weight that is laid upon you. Now, if your soul does not have proper food, just like your career's gonna fail. Your job, it's gonna fail. If your soul doesn't have proper food, it will die as certain as will your career. And there's only one place to find food for the soul. Again, Christ and you alone. And they looked around, and Moses and Elijah were gone. You know all Moses and Elijah did? They testified of him. Well, I reading the law, and it's dull, dead, boring, hard. Well, you are approaching it in that manner. It testifies of Christ. Elijah and all the prophets, the Psalms and all, is to bring you where no man, just you and Christ, when you sit down before the book, when you sit down on the pew, when you shut your closet door, nobody. Nobody. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Only way that's possible is you coming to an end of self as much as is possible. And that can only be done with an eye. See if you can see Christ and nobody around him. He alone. For every one of us, leaving none of you nor myself out, we form prejudices in our lives due to the environment in which we live, due to the religion, how we were brought up, trained, raised. All of us have prejudices. But you never should come to the Word of God with, I believe this and I'm going to find it in Scripture. If you come that way, God's going to help you find it. Something that will disprove another truth. Can only be done, God ridden us of all that hinders us, with an eye towards the Lord Jesus Christ alone. I got a dismissed education. You'll never know how many times I thank the Lord that He shut the door on me attending seminary. Had my bachelor's degree, and the head of the Southern Baptist said, you need to go to seminary. And then the fundamentalist said, you need to go to the seminary. And I thought that they were right. And 75 years ago, they would have been right. But I thank the Lord many a time that after moving, He shut the door so that I could not get in. Big city, plenty of jobs. Plenty of folks that had already contacted people there that would help me get work, and it all failed. And I would have come out with a mind fixed against most of the great truths of Scripture. What you listen to, what you read, the activity in your mind, all those different voices, is developing you into what you will be. You can't do anything about it. Except find the Lord Jesus Christ. Beyond Moses, beyond Elijah, beyond all the Old Testament. You use the Old Testament, but you're looking to find Him. I close with this, but we all with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3:18, what happens? We're changed from one image to another image. What effect did that have on those three disciples that day? You'll never know the magnitude of the effect. Now, it will be by small degrees that you overcome everything in you against God. Well, I don't have anything against God. Yeah, you do. All of us do. The carnal mind is enmity against God. It's enmity against everything God requires of us. So it's just God, you, beholding, though in a glass, not darkly, the glory of the Lord. For you're either being changed into His image, or you are being formed into an image of an apostate. You say, well, they're all out there. No, every apostate is formed on the pews of a local assembly. As of right now, we do not know what we shall be. See if you can find Him, your soul.